Lena Life. I'm Lena Mirmont with my show, and my most exhilarating, extremely gifted in every frontier of life, from everyday needs to philosophy, from humor to wonderful emotions. And her name is Ellen Servo-Dolgen. Ellen, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to speak with you.
Well, I will make just a little introduction to your book, but actually I like to make even more round introduction to your thinking and to your freedom of thinking, because the subject which you took with a great sense of bravery and understanding of our musical nature, with all our needs and problems and issues, and you took it as a truly remarkable achievement, where we are forced in most natural way to face our very normal, very regular and natural phenomenal qualities in everyday life. We're going to talk about menopause. We're going to talk about certain highly personal and intimate issues, which normally we will discuss in our privacy with the doctors, or we will be reading some books, or we will be drowning in our doubts, scare, fears. And here Ellen came with her very open, totally comprehensive human approach to the issues of menopause and many other connections which has to do with this, where people experiencing that, with their social challenges, with their relationships in the family. So it's truly endless subject, and I'm very happy that Ellen will be with us with her book, with her thoughts, and with her ideas, which are so relevant, so helpful, and so wonderfully important for everyday life. Ellen, I don't really have a particular question. I just like to ask you to express your platform. How did you come to this realization that indeed humor and emotions can live together with a great intimacy and understanding of human nature?
Well, it happened because I experienced perimenopause and menopause, and I was not prepared. No one had ever spoken to me about this time in a woman's life, and I felt like I had hit a wall. All of a sudden, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't think clearly. Often, I couldn't grab a thought, and in mid-sentence, I would forget what I was saying in a business meeting. And I was scared. I felt alone, and had no idea what was going on in my life. And so through a series of various things, I realized at a certain point that I was actually in perimenopause and menopause, and I then sought out many, many books and lots of different things to help me through this. And what I found was it was so overwhelming and complicated, and it didn't need to be. So basically, I decided to make it easier for other women and for the people who love them to understand what's going on. So that's why I put together the tools that I needed and made it simple and an easy read, and also with a little bit of a sense of humor, so that it's like a girlfriend's guide to perimenopause and menopause. Like you're sitting down with your best friend, having a cup of coffee or a cocktail, and she just happens to know a lot about perimenopause and menopause, and she can help you find hormone happiness.
This is truly a remarkable approach, because it relieves so much tension, so much embarrassment, and so much unnecessary, unnatural disposition, especially between mother and a daughter, for example. But I like to get to the beginning of your book, which touched my soul very deeply. You starting your book by telling the story about your relationship with your birthday friend forever. Her name is Marcia. I understand that she tragically had very short life. And you describe her last birthday, which became a symbol of your philosophical conviction that every day should be a birthday. And on the side, I just wanted to thank you so much for your effort and for the fact that you sent me your book. You endorsed this, and you really surprised me wishing me happy birthday. So my first question was, where in the world you found out about my birthday, and why in the world I'm so famous that you wanted to go to such a trouble? Then after I read this first chapter, I understood that I was actually part of your philosophy. And on a very, very personal note, if I just will take a one little detour, I wanted to share with you that indeed my birthday took place very recently. And my son, who happened to be extremely sensitive artist, actually prolonged my birthday because it was a little press celebration. It was a celebration and it was a post celebration. In fact, it felt so wonderful that after I thought it's time to finish, I said, can we celebrate a little bit more? So I truly appreciate this philosophy and that emotional orientation, especially when we become in our mature age, which you also describing in your book. So maybe we can talk about this time when you indeed realize how important this conviction to have this communication, to have this, as you call, inbox thinking and coming closer to your own body, to your own mind.
Well, I would love to, actually. As you mentioned, I had a dear friend and mentor. Her name was Marcia. And actually, she gave me the word Shmershki. She called her vajayjay Shmershki, and she called the counterpart of the male an Ehrlich. And she thought it was hysterical that she could be talking about Shmershkis and Ehrlichs, and no one knew what she was saying. So in honor and in memory of Marcia, I called the book Shmershki, The Pursuit of Hormone Happiness, because it's more a little more fun, and it kind of starts the book out with some love and some really sweet friendship that I wanted to share. Marcia did teach me that every day we should try to make our birthday, because when it's our birthday, just like you said, you celebrate yourself. And you feel good about yourself. And you maybe have a lighter step that day and a bigger smile. And maybe you put on something special. And maybe you even go and treat yourself to something special. So if we make every day our birthday, then we actually celebrate ourselves a little bit each day. So during my difficult times, during my perimenopause and menopause experience, I was reminded of this often. And, in fact, I would send friends a birthday cake or a birthday card when it wasn't their birthday. And everyone began to understand what that meant, and everyone smiled every time they received that. So I'm so happy to share that with you and with your listeners, because, actually, it's a beautiful thing that Marcia gave me. And along with that comes communication. The communication you speak of amongst a mother and a daughter and amongst a husband and a wife, or amongst, a mother and a son, for that matter, the communication in our life is so precious. And what happens often when a woman experiences one of the many symptoms of perimenopause, they're over 30, and I document them in a symptoms chart for women to use to help them chart how they feel so they can hand this to their doctor and get help that they deserve. When you often feel some of these symptoms, it really, you can end up on an emotional roller coaster. And when we don't feel good, we often don't communicate well. And so it often translates to the people that love us as that we're upset with them. And people start personalizing and feeling, oh my gosh, mom's upset, or my wife's upset, or my girlfriend's upset, and nobody knows what's going on because nobody's really talking about the situation. So just so important for people to understand that they're not alone in this and that they need to trust how you feel. That's why I say think inside the box. I know we always talk about thinking outside the box, and believe me, I do believe in that. But in this particular case, we need to think inside the box. We need to trust how we feel. And we know when we don't feel well. We know when we need help. And we need to reach out and get the help we deserve. And we get that through this very important communication.
I think you're making this very important link, because indeed we often speak about thinking outside of the box. But to think successfully outside of the box, you really have to know what's inside of the box. So in your book, with the numerous examples and very diligent descriptions of symptoms, for example, you've been talking about, you're making that connection, you're filling up this link. I found this so exceptionally helpful. Now, if we will go a little bit to the medical area, I would say that your chart is graphically, explicitly explains the symptoms. You go, basically, you're giving a very competent medical description of what is going on. I think reading your book, it is very helpful for the women, maybe even for men, to go to the doctor and to be much more prepared with a description, with a self-analysis, because some of those symptoms can be very misleading. And just to make a little parallel with a thyroid gland, which happened to be quite subtle, I call it, using your Smorsky wonderful term, I call it like a small Smorsky, because it has its own life. And it rules people's function on those moments and those time of the months with a great, great power. So if a doctor asks you certain questions, I think it's a very helpful to learn about the symptoms which you were describing in the book and then share this with a doctor.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, I had no idea what tests I should ask for. I was not educated or empowered. And that is why I wanted to make that easier for others. And so there's a list of the tests that you should receive, you should talk to your doctor about, one of which is be sure you have your thyroid checked, because many women confuse thyroid symptoms with menopause symptoms, and they don't take care of their thyroid. And if you have a thyroid condition that's undetected, it can be serious. And so that is a blood test that is extremely important for women to get, to have their thyroid checked, their TSH checked. And these lists are very conveniently put, and I try to explain everything in simple language, because we're not all doctors and scientists, and I wanted to simplify so that people can actually understand what they need to ask for and how they need to find a perimenopause and menopause specialist, because often women go to their gynecologist that delivered their babies their entire life. Well, not all gynecologists are specialists in perimenopause and menopause. You may need to switch, because this is a specific time in your life, and you want a doctor to be your partner who is extremely well-educated and is up on all of the latest studies and understands them, so that you're not scared by them and you understand what your specific needs are. And I devote a whole section to finding a perimenopause and menopause specialist. It's so important.
Yes, you're going to the last pages of your book. Indeed, you indicate in the sources the names of the doctors and some organizations. Some of them I happen to be familiar with. But jumping to the beginning, you give a very lovely warning. Say, no skipping pages. I made this book short and easy, but if you skip ahead, you will not know Shmurski from an Ehrlich. Now, I'm still stumbling, even though once I heard this, my musical ear was so tickled, and I think even my thyroid started to dance. So we have this wonderful relationship between Shmurski and Ehrlich. And let's talk a little bit about communication between man and a woman. What a subject, what an ocean of the issues, endless for ages and a history subject. But I think your book brings this so much closer to life. Again, you're saying if woman knows herself much better, she will relate to her husband or to her partner, boyfriend, in a much better, more clear way. I think personally a lot of situations could be resolved with less pain if a woman will be aware of who she is on a physiological level.
Yes, no question. And also, I loved it when you said that perhaps you should make sure that your partner reads Shmurski, The Pursuit of Hormone Happiness, because frankly, it is written for both Shmurskis and Ehrlichs, because they do need to have a time where they can sit down and spend like an hour or two and read something like this that will help them understand what's happening to you. Because many, many relationships break down during this time, frankly, and the reason is that there's not communication. And so one of the biggest issues that couples face often during perimenopause and menopause is the loss of their sex life. And it can happen. It happens often to women that when their estrogen starts plummeting, that their shmurski can get dry. And when that happens, frankly, some women would rather clean their floor than get in bed because sex can hurt. Well, your partner has no way of knowing this if you don't communicate these things, but we're often embarrassed and we don't know how to say these things. Also, a drop in testosterone levels can cause a woman's libido to crash. You could be madly in love with your partner and still have absolutely no interest in sex at all because your testosterone is so low. So these are things that, unless we communicate with each other, our partner has no idea of knowing. I travel around, I speak, and I was once on a radio show with a call-in program, and a man called in, and his name was John, and he said, I pulled off the side of the road because I needed to talk to you. He said, I didn't know any of these things you just said. I was married to the love of my life, and all of a sudden, our communication stopped. She didn't want to talk to me. I knew she didn't feel good. I didn't know what was wrong. She didn't want anything to do with me. And we became roommates, and we were just passing it through the house. We had no relationship anymore for about 3 or 4 years, and he said it was painful to live like that. We ended up divorced. And he said, had I had an opportunity to understand about perimenopause and menopause, I would have been able to help her get a doctor. I would have figured out it wasn't that she didn't love me anymore. It was that she actually has physiological things happening to her, and I would have understood, and I could have been there. And he was devastated, actually. These are the kinds of things that happen when we don't, A, know what's happening to our own body, and B, we don't communicate that those things to the people that love us.
Well, I think it is a tremendously important tool for the parents and, again, for the mothers, because there is no secret the age of the sex activities are so early in our modern times, and all hormonal system of a young girl is certainly out of balance due to poor diet or due to some early sexual activities which can be overwhelming for the body. And I found that reading your book, it is such a comforting, almost subliminal reaction where a woman can find her own comfort with herself, but then speak to her daughter, because the sex education basically devoted to teenage pregnancy, devoted to venereal diseases, but the very, very few are devoted to hormonal development, to this extremely subtle and most powerful driving force of our body.
Yes, I mean, wouldn't it be lovely if we had more real in-depth health education on this? Because exactly what you're saying is happening. And in fact, many households are having what I call dueling hormones. There's a teenager in the house that is going through puberty, and there is a mother who is going through perimenopause. And because perimenopause starts 6 to 10 years before you actually reach menopause. A menopause is when you've been without a period for a full year. The average age to start perimenopause is in your mid-40s, when you're young and you aren't even thinking about menopause. And the average age to be in menopause, of course, that again is when you're without a period for a year, is 51 years old. So there's a lot of households with dueling hormones. And one of the things I like to remind people is that you have a lot more in common with your teenager when they're going through puberty than you think. Both of the mother and the child are having hormonal fluctuations. Yes, they're different. Yes, it's a different time in your life. But there are symptoms that occur, like emotional highs and lows, and exhaustion, impatience, and often sleepless nights. I mean, kids going through puberty have a tough time too. So I suggest that you sit down with your teenager and perhaps open up the back of the Shmershki, the Pursuit of Hormone Happiness. Get the chart out and say, these are some of the things I'm going through. How about you? I know you're having hormone changes too now. And actually, you can find common ground, and maybe there's a gift in the chaos, and that gift is by taking a moment to pause and reflect on the similarities that are happening, and the love and the can overcome the frustration and the anger, and you can find an actual great place to communicate that would be very special. And one that you will always be able to hold on to with your child.
And this is a route for self-confidence, for the girl to feel that she is perfectly normal in a sense of her stages of her development, that it is normal to be different. And they all talk about this in school, whispering to each other ears. But when it comes from the mother, and as you explained, girl notices that her mother goes through certain moodiness, goes through certain stages of her changes of personality. And when mother actually opens up this mystery, I think it's absolutely incredibly beautiful bond between a girl and the mother, giving, as I mentioned before, confidence to the girl and much more self-understanding. So when she's looking at the boy and she's attracted to the boy, she's much more self-aware who she is and how valuable her physical development is. I think it's a tremendous message which your book carries as a source for the communication, which goes way beyond just a hormonal understanding. It's a human, emotional, and intellectual. I would suggest that we will take just a little pause with a musical breeze here. Do you mind to do that?
Sure.
And then we will continue our conversation, our journey through your book, and some other thoughts which I like to explore with you, with my very dear guest, whose knowledge and compassion for our human and physical bodies are so deeply expressed in her book and in her life. Her name is Ellen Servo-Dolgin, with whom we will continue our conversation after this musical interlude. Refreshed, and we're back to our conversation with Ellen Servo-Dolgin, who really is fountain of life, because nothing can escape her wonderful vision, feeling, and devotion to our everyday moment. Ellen, I'd like to ask you about this lovely chapter. It says, "Let my shmoshki go." And if I comprehended that correctly, there is a correlation between a bit messy drawer and a little bit messy stage in the mind and mental hectic feeling. And you're talking about that this messy drawer somewhat expression, what is in our head. Could you elaborate on this?
Yes, I think that, first of all, I was a really big organizer. My whole house is organized, so, and the reason I want to reference that is because I had no idea I had a messy drawer in my house. You could come by at any given time, and I was ready for a dinner party, you know, that's how I was brought up. So this messy drawer is full of thoughts I hadn't taken care of. There were so many things that came spilling out of my head or my drawer that I needed to accept and understand. When I went through perimenopause and menopause, I had so many emotions that perhaps I stuffed away that because I was so busy being the caretaker of all the people in my life, which, by the way, I love being a mom. I love being a wife. And a friend and a coworker, all these things really give me great joy. But I forgot to put myself on the list. And so when I went through perimenopause and menopause, some of these things started coming at me that clearly I hadn't actually focused on. And I had some needs that I needed to have met, too. Like, number one, I needed to figure out how to take care of myself. I needed to get help. I needed to find a good doctor. I needed to take the time to interview a couple doctors, and I talk about this also. It's really good to interview a couple of the doctors to make sure you find one that you are best suited with. I needed to talk to my girlfriends in the sisterhood and share what I was going through. And rather than constantly being there for everybody, I needed to ask people to be there for me. And it was something I had to learn. And so I cleaned out all this drawer by reaching out for the help I needed. And I decided I don't need to have a messy drawer anymore in my house. And when things come up, I try to deal with them right then and there so that it doesn't get stuffed away and it doesn't come exploding out. Because if you take care of all of these things as they come up, you know, it really takes less time out of your life and you have more joy.
There is one a little bit funny, but I remember childhood memory. My mother, who unfortunately did pass away, had a friend, and she was a brilliant psychiatrist. And every time I would come to her house, and I was very, very little girl, everything was totally untouched as if it is a museum. And her name was Irina, and I said, how can you live in a museum? And her answer still stick to my memory. She said, it just takes the same amount of time to put the same place, to put the same thing on the right place or in the wrong place. I just prefer to put it on the right place because it takes me much lesser time to find it when I need it next.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you know, actually you can get more things done if you do that, because if you have to spend a whole day or weeks trying to organize things that you've let get crazy, then it really does take away from that joy of that day. And you've missed out on some of the fun that life has to offer, and which is one of the main reasons that I tried to talk about some of these things, because I want other shmershkis, or women, to know that you can find hormone happiness. I did, and you can find that. And there are many women out there that are suffering and that are listening to this today. And I have to stress that you do not have to live a life that is not full. You can be happy again during perimenopause and menopause if you are educated and empowered and you put yourself on the list and start to take care of you.
Absolutely. I'm being a little bit perhaps sarcastic or presumptuous, but I feel that if I open the closet of any kind of a given house where a woman lives, I can see what condition her shmersky is just by judging whether this closet has things she needs or things which she forgot about, or things she just feels burdened by but doesn't have enough necessity or desire to throw away. So actually, the closet, that chapter, I loved very much because it represents who we are inside of the box. It indeed represents our culture, represents our habits, and if we are not getting into something which we really needed to attend, that means something's stopping us. That means something is troubling us. And very, very often, it is exactly what you're describing. It's either menopause or perimenopause. I'd like to ask your opinion on one phenomenon. I feel that we're living in menopausal changes of the climate. Look what's going on in Japan. Look for this amount of changes of the weather, temperature, even in most peaceful and promising for the comfort points of the United States and other places in the world, suddenly there is a hurricane. I believe that there is a tremendous change in the symptoms of our own bodies. I think all the more because of that, we need to have that responsibility and desire to look upon ourselves with much greater care.
Yes, I mean, there's so much going on in the world. You're absolutely right. And there are so many things happening to you at the same time that you're going through perimenopause and menopause. You just, simply have to trust how you feel. I'm reminded of Lorraine's story, this woman who started perimenopause, and she didn't realize it. Again, she knew nothing about perimenopause. She was in her 40s. She was depressed. She felt like her world was crumbling around her. She went to an internist. He put her on antidepressants without taking any tests, hormone tests of any kind. But the antidepressants didn't help her. And instead of trusting how she felt, she did not call the doctor back. She suffered. She suffered for 5 years. She gained 35 pounds during that time. She was miserable. She found the Shmershki, the pursuit of hormone happiness, and she realized she needed to go and get help for herself. And she researched, she found a perimenopause and menopause doctor, and she used the symptoms chart in the back of the book to help explain to her doctor how she felt. And she emailed me after 4 months that she literally had found herself again. She has a whole new program specifically for her that she and her perimenopause and menopause specialist worked out. And she felt like she was no longer in a storm without an umbrella. And wow. And this is exactly why women need to talk to each other, why we encourage women to have what we call Shmershki parties. And if you go on my website, shmershki.com, shmirshky.com, and you click on Shmershki parties, we're kind of like bringing back the Tupperware parties, the old-fashioned Tupperware parties, but we're calling them Shmershki parties. And if you have a party in your house, which is simply a get-together, or you go to a coffee place, or you go to the park, wherever you want to go, and you talk about perimenopause and menopause with the sisterhood, with your friends, and you share, we call this a Shmershki party. And you can find support and a wonderful, wonderful way of communicating and learning from other women, because we need to share. We need to share what we go through. We need to not think that we have to hide and suffer in silence when we're going through perimenopause and menopause. And as a matter of fact, any woman who throws a Shmershki party is a hostess and sends us pictures for the website, we send a free Shmershki bathrobe.
Fantastic, and thank you so much, because I was just about to ask you, please, to announce to our listeners where they can find you, and I wanted to say I had a fantastic fun with your Shmershki's website, because I was not prepared that I could be a painter for 10, 15 seconds. It was just a fantastic thing, because the mouse, once you touch it and click on this, So fantastic things happening. I'm trying to overcome the radio invisibility, but to say, once you touch Shmershki, you're sure not sorry. You will be so happy. You'll never leave the side. So.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. And if you sign up on the website, you will get our Menopause Mondays blogs and be in the Shmershki know. So I try to keep people aware and abreast of things that I am aware of by virtue of the many doctors and scientists and pharmacists and all the people that helped me make sure that I could make this small book and share it with other people so that they don't suffer through perimenopause and menopause.
And I like to come back to our Erlichs, because they are a totally irreplaceable part of our society. And after all, they're partners. And they can be so beneficial to their sons. I think boys are even more unequipped to understand what is going on, because they're only about a feeling and just being driven by their testosterones, but they don't quite understand why they go wild sometimes. And they think sometimes it's abnormal. In fact, it's a vicious cycle. Puberty makes boy to be a hermit, is somewhat closed when they absolutely need the most of the communication, and a father figure is right there, so, so important. I think your book, if not in the same way, but certainly as I mentioned before, can be so helpful to earlier, to male, to fathers or boyfriends. So how would you suggest that the man would approach your book and be actually helpful to his son or maybe even his daughter?
Well, people want to live life more peacefully, right? We all do.
Absolutely.
So in that regard, I wanted to address the men in our lives, whether they be our husbands, boyfriends, or sons. And so the spirit of Shmirsky, the pursuit of hormone happiness, is also written for them too. Because, frankly, the books that I asked my husband to read were so enormous that it was incredibly difficult for him, A, to find the time, and B, to really understand. They were so technical. So with a little bit of humor and a lot of love, Shmirsky, The Pursuit of Hormone Happiness, is for, as I say, anyone with a vajayjay or anyone who knows somebody who has one. So it's really written for all the people in our lives so that they can understand if hormones are making us unhappy, I have the solutions. And it, you do need help. And it would be great to hand this book to your family members so they can help you, because they need to understand that it's not about them, that they don't, we don't want them to personalize any of the maybe grumpiness or any of the emotions that are happening to you, but rather understand them. And instead of rolling eyes, which often we find teenagers do, all we need is a hug. And we can together go through what is a journey that every woman, if she's lucky enough to age, and get past 40, is going to go through this process. And so when you go through it, everyone in the household goes through it with you. And so be sure to share, be sure to talk, be sure to communicate to the people who love you so that you will have a more peaceful home life and you can have hormone happiness.
In fact, I don't exactly remember where, but you do describe with simplicity and absolutely most eloquent sensitivity this moment of just giving a hug. Most beautiful exchange of hormones in a wonderful, natural, emotional reciprocity. I like to go to one area just to make it even more resourceful. The more you know about yourself, the better you can handle yourself. And if your professional duties can somewhat rotate around your physiological expressions, your professional life will be that much more successful. For the artists, for example, for the singers, it's a critical because it's a voice production. For the athlete people, it is just as critical because it's their physical endurance. I like to make this comment because your book is opening eyes to that, how it can be extremely self-sufficient to understand where you're coming from and how to make your the most important professional event.
Well, you know that perimenopause and menopause does enter the boardroom, and it's usually not on the agenda. Because it comes with you wherever you go. And there are women in all walks of life doing very big jobs. And listen, we have celebrities that are fabulous and they're in their 40s. And yes, they're also going through perimenopause and menopause. So the more we educate ourselves and the more knowledge that we take with us when we go to the doctor, and the more that we educate the people around us so that, that they can give us the love and the support that we deserve, not just in the home, but also at your coworkers. I mean, this doesn't need to be a secret. As a matter of fact, I'm excited to tell you that Shmershky, The Pursuit of Hormone Happiness, is in a lot of wellness programs now, because employees understand they want their employers understand they want their employees to feel good, to be healthy, and to be able to function to the best of their ability and be productive. So how can we do that? We can be prepared for perimenopause and menopause. You know, I was really prepared to have a baby. Everybody gave me advice. Everybody told me what to expect. There were books and books and books my husband read. But really, why was I not prepared for perimenopause and menopause? Why was my husband not prepared for perimenopause and menopause? It's a taboo that we need to all break. And I ask everyone that I speak with, and I talk to anybody, no matter where I am, in the car wash, at the grocery store, anywhere I go, I talk about it, because I want to break that taboo, and I want to be sure that no one suffers. As a matter of fact, our motto is reaching out is in, and suffering in silence is out.
Which is fantastic bridge to mention with your help. Your various appearances, which are tremendous. Also, you got wonderful recognition, in fact, from the medical community with a number of doctors. Joseph Kennedy, who made the points in your book, said something close to that every woman needs to read this book. And certainly your high-caliber public media appearances made your Shmershky's very, very known. Mm-hmm. And I think Shmershky's is on a crescendo with a little help of Ehrlich's as well, because after all, they are deserve to be in a very good company if they will understand each other, and then they will communicate much better with each other, I think.
Well, I am passionate about this topic. I suffered for 3 years unnecessarily, and now I feel great, and I want to share.
I regretfully have to say that we're coming to the conclusion of our program, but I think it's just a beginning, and if you felt comfortable with us, perhaps you will join us again, because there is a whole story of more profound communication between the people, knowing their nature, the purpose, what a fantastic driving force our hormones are, and to make a certain parallel actually with the animal world, because we can learn from animals. They are much more natural in self-expression. And I believe that people who have cats or dogs or other animal in the house actually have a sharper instinct what is better for themselves, because they relate to the animal world, which is so warming and so obedient to us. However, that's for perhaps another program. I wanted to conclude with one question. What is your next desire? What is your next wish, for example, to make a documentary or to have some, in ideal world, to have a chapter in school program where people like yourself will talk in a small groups with children, teenagers, and young adults? How do you see your incredible idea developing, and what is the next level?
Well, I am going to continue my passionate drive to make sure that no one is suffering and that no one feels like they're losing their mind and that they don't have joy and a hope of joy in their life again. one woman, one man, one child at a time. For me, this is a real grassroots passion, and I think that if we all continue to share and talk about it with our friends, and you can talk about it with me. You can find me at shmershki.com. You can email me, and I will email you back. Any questions, anything I can do to help you, the message is clear. You do not need to suffer, and I want everyone to know that you can find hormone happiness. I did, and you can too. And it's up to us to educate the next generation. And I do want to do that with your help.
And we are your very faithful consumers. And to finish it in a little humorous note, you're saying that pap smear you take with the same frequency as you're taking your pictures, or vice versa.
Well, do you know any women or any schmurskis who love to have their picture taken? So when they told me I had to have my picture on the book, I said, oh, I like having my picture taken as much as I like having a pap smear. And so they all cracked up, and we decided to put that on the book. And by the way, the book is by E. E happens to be the first letter of my first name, which is Ellen. But E represents everyone. Shmershki, the pursuit of hormone happiness, is a little bit of every woman's story.
Yes, thank you so much for this comment, because, yes, it was dancing in my mind. I was very honored to be included in Shmershki's family. And on this note, Ellen, thank you so much. I'm looking forward for more returns. And I would conclude saying that I had very special guest with her highly original and yet extremely practical, greatly needed approach towards life from physiological, philosophical, emotional, and intellectual point of view. With all my wonderful wishes to you, I will conclude with the music and some post thoughts of this wonderful program, which I hope you all enjoyed.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. I certainly felt better about my own hormones. In fact, my mind was that much more clear about a very special event which took place in the world many years ago. The name is very known. Yuri Gagarin was the first astronaut who took place in the space. He was a hero, and he was a Soviet Union great hero with courage, which permitted him to go to the space. And Russia decided to celebrate the day of astronaut's life. And it was a tremendous celebration in Russia, some part of Eastern Europe. And I felt that even though there is no direct connection to the program which just took place, but in a sense it is, because the discipline and the training and a tremendous understanding of your own body, which Yuri Gagarin had to demonstrate in order to be very well prepared for this courageous step, permitted him to conquer the space permitted him to bring back his courage, share this with other people. And then after this, new era was opened. So I will finish my program saying that I hope that we will open many new doors, even though our society is quite complicated, presenting challenges, but with our fantastic understanding who we are, with our hormonal content and health of it, I think we will be able to do it. Until next time, that was Lena Mermont, my program Lena Life. I'm finishing with thanking you, PBS, wonderful, handsome man. And thank you for your another production of the program, which I personally enjoyed immensely. And until next time, have a wonderful spring and summertime.